No.
All right. I hit the button. We're recording. We're streaming live. All right. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the still, as of yet, untitled esports show. My name is Gutex, and to my left and to my right, depending on which side of the screen you're watching on, over here, we got Slasher holding it down all the way from New York. And we got Zorin, our other esports veteran, in beautiful, probably rainy, chilly Los Angeles. Guys, thank you so much for giving this another go. I know you guys were expecting dramatic improvements from last week's show, but instead, we're just trying to get 1% better. And I think we have improved our camera situation, so I am satisfied with our progress. How are you guys?
Doing great. Hi, everyone. Glad to be back.
There's a lot of people watching.
Yeah, there's a whole 30 of them. So thank you. Thank you for giving us another chance. And what do you have to say, Rod?
So we've gotten worse, actually.
Worse? How could we possibly have gotten worse?
I don't know. We're getting 1% worse each day. If you get 1% worse each day, by the end of it, you get 37% worse somehow. It's some math I learned before the show.
That is...
All of you really know what I'm talking about. Two things. Impossible. One, if you heard while we were first starting that people on the internet are smart, no, you in Twitch chat are not fucking smart. I think you're all kind of dumb people. But I respect you. I just don't think your intelligence is that
high. We're off to a good start here. I'm glad.
And Rod, usually dissing the hardcore audience is probably not the best way to get people, you know, on board with what we're trying to do here.
No. That means they hate me and they like you two more. I'm actually very experienced in this kind of dynamic of having the whole chat hate me and then like my co-host. It's actually a pretty good strategy. Ryan, I just want to tell everyone who's currently watching, Ryan put on his little suit jacket, as you can see.
Look, Rod, this is the esports show. I am wearing an esports blazer. It is friggin' cold over here in Vegas. This house alternates between being blazing hot and ice cold. And today, it's ice cold.
Yeah, that's the point I was getting to. Ryan, where are you right now?
Again? Las Vegas, Nevada.
And that's in Nevada, right? What is that mainly known as to people?
The desert?
The desert, yes. Zorin, where are you right now? Just to be clear to everyone I'm watching.
Los Angeles.
Another desert.
Cool. Do you know where I am right now? Those of you not aware, I'm in New York City.
Just a guess, yeah.
Negative outside right now. It's fucking negative outside, Ryan. I don't want to hear your fucking bullshit on how it's fucking cold in the desert right now. It's probably like 50 degrees where you are, and that's freezing to you. It's negative degrees outside.
Look it. As the world's number one esports consultant, I would think that you would live wherever the epicenter of esports happens to be. So unless that is New York, then you really have no business there. Thus, I have no sympathy.
Alexa, what is the weather in Las Vegas, Nevada right now?
Alexa, what's the weather in Las Vegas?
Oh my god, don't. No, this is what they tried to do.
49 degrees.
Freezing. Absolutely freezing.
It's definitely two buttons undone on the shirt weather. So
you need a thorn-like coat over you right now. You gotta get the fluff all around the head.
Yeah.
Look.
I'm glad we actually resorted to talking about the weather.
Yeah, I'm a California boy. It's cold. You know,
clearly.
It's cold. What can I say? Anyways, we have some unfinished business to talk about from last week. If you guys, for the half a dozen of you that were tuned in last time, have rejoined us again for this amazing train wreck of a show, this time you may remember that last time Slasher had a date with Destiny, with a young man.
Give us a scoop.
A young man named Soulja Boy.
Not actually Destiny. Destiny lives where Zareen now is, and Destiny is much whiter than
not the person
that I was
not
going
the person,
to.
The concept.
Yeah, the concept. So Soulja Boy did come to New York. I'm sure some of you may have seen him on the internet this past week.
Totally missed it. I was only tuned into your Twitter feed.
Okay. Well, Drake isn't shit. Kanye ain't fucking shit. Soulja Boy made both of them. He is the biggest comeback of 2018. He has mad new songs coming out. He has a new console coming out. He has a new video game coming out. And he is the next Steve Jobs, from what I have been told.
I feel like out of all those things, like one of them is true. I'm not sure which one it is.
No, Ryan. Soulja Boy said all of those things, and you know you gotta believe him.
You know, I actually did see him in an interview where he dissed Kanye West so hard about, I don't know, everything he was wearing, all of his music, something about like the hood, like disowning him or something. What was your experience?
Well, I didn't actually meet up with him. No, so as just like my personal life,
distance and like recorded him on your phone, and you're like, damn, got him, Soulja Boy.
He did come to New York, and he was here, and we were going to smoke a fat blunt, but we were not able to hook up in person. That was really the main goal of meeting up. I know we had some plans, like to shoot a video about his esports team, I think. He did tell me that he's going to make the greatest esports team ever made, and he wants teams in Call of Duty, and this was through like text messaging, so unfortunately I don't have a video to show you.
Okay.
But he's got Gears of War, Overwatch, Counter-Strike, I think he wanted Smash, and Street Fighter, Ryan. So you could actually be the first player on the Soulja Boy team. Ryan, are you interested?
Hey, I mean, he's your homie, dude. I mean, I'm happy now that there is a new Street Fighter format on the horizon. You know, maybe... I mean, I guess if Soulja Boy calls, you got to pick up the phone. So I guess, yeah, get me in there.
He was looking for like up and coming 16 to 17 year old players. You're about that age, Ryan.
You're really close, Ryan.
You're really close, right?
I am so far out of that demographic.
Aren't you like 19?
I don't even think that Facebook would allow me to advertise to that demographic. That's how far removed I am from that particular demographic. But, you know, it is, you know, hey, anything's possible. He's looking for 16, 17-year-olds. He's barking up the wrong tree.
You know, that's too bad. I think Gutek's on the Soulja Boys. I think that should be the team name, the Soulja Boys.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely don't want it literally to be the boy soldiers, that's for sure. That's
He is going to be Soulja 76, the captain of the Soulja Boys. I think it's a... Cool.
Well, I mean, I think last week, after Justin Wong announced his free agency, I think he might be a better candidate for the Soulja Boys, as it were. Which, you know, for sure is going to get changed... to Soulja people, because you know we can't have people feeling excluded. But yeah,
very true.
So, basically, your field report was a bust.
Yeah, I don't got shit for you, Ryan. except he's gonna make esports team of the year, and he's the fucking biggest comeback 2018, motherfucker. Don't be hating,
Zoreen.
Except
what are you?
2019.
What do you think, Zoreen? Soulja Boy have a future in esports?
Yeah, look, I mean, it was only a matter of time before another like Rick Fox kind of came to the scene and was like, "Yo, I love this esports thing. I'm so excited about it. Let's throw heaps of money in it and like, you know, make a big splash." So I'm interested to see what will happen, especially given the games that Slasher mentioned that he's particularly interested in, like Overwatch. You kind of need to like have a franchise spot to play in that league. And also, like, what other esports did you say? CSGO? I feel like CSGO is kind of like Wild Wild West. It's a little bit, like, too unstable. I don't know. And Gears is, again, like, kind of, you know, a tier 2, tier 3 esport in terms of viewership, if you look at the numbers alone. So,
if Gears is tier 2 or tier 3, where do fighting games fall?
I honestly think, I mean, we can get into this when we talk about the Street Fighter stuff, the Pro League that got announced, but I think fighting games are like a tier 2 esport right now.
Well, I'll tell you what. The people over at Warner Brothers are trying their damnedest to make Mortal Kombat into a tier 1 esport. And based on their reveal last week that I attended and got to experience, it could have a pretty good shot.
You think so? What do you think?
I thought it was crazy that a game reveal event would start with a keynote. I think that's a sign of the times, sign of the esports times, that things are much different now with MK11 compared to, you know, 9 and 10 and, you know, Injustice, because there was I guess it was like a 6-hour event, right? 10 a.m. or not 5-hour event, like 11 to 4 p.m. And they did this keynote and then had exhibitions. I thought the event was well executed. I thought the game looks gorgeous. They got so much right when it comes to a lot of the different features, a lot of the stuff. You know, I'm like digging through the menus to see like, oh, you know, where are these guys' heads at in terms of like the details and the features and all these things. And it was pretty impressive. The only variable is whether or not the gameplay will resonate with the fighting game community, which generally, based on the NetherRealm track record, I mean, they're able to do a really strong first year or first season or so, and then there doesn't really seem to be a whole lot of support or, let's say, community engagement after that initial wave, which is not necessarily a bad thing, and that's probably why they keep putting games out every 2 years. But I'm cautiously optimistic that, you know, this game could easily, you know, do well in the current environment. But I also think that there's a strong possibility that this game is going to trigger Mortal Kombat 1/2 political, political ruckus, because I don't know if you guys remember, but, you know, back in the early 90s, when Mortal Kombat first came out, there was a lot of politicians, Hillary Clinton, I forget who else, that were, you know, talking about banning, you know, video game violence and all that stuff. Obviously, it didn't work because, you know, and they didn't do a good job, because now, you know, 10, you know, 11 Mortal Kombats later, it's still here.
The event
was cool.
What are you worried about?
What am I worried about?
That's too bloody? Like, what kind of political
thing
are you talking about?
Yeah, like in the early 90s, I mean, it sounds crazy.
No, but I mean now, though. Why would they be upset about... If all the things that people are upset right now in America, usually blood and gore are not one of those things. We're pretty cool with people getting their heads chopped off. Is there a nipple? Then we got a fucking problem. But getting your head chopped off, getting your eyeball knocked into the back of your socket through the back of your head, all those things are like fine. I think it's really cool. Usually Americans are not like dismayed by that type of stuff.
Agreed. I don't think culturally we have an issue, but I think politically this could be something that becomes a topic, even though I don't really think it's gonna go anywhere. But I won't be. But if that happens, you heard it here first that it was gonna be a thing.
But there was an issue already, and it's not that.
Oh, what was the issue with Mortal
Kombat? Do either of you know what I'm talking about? There was a little bit of backlash during the event because of something that happened, and nothing to do with the blood and the gore.
Oh,
no.
Fill us in. Number one esports consultant.
Ronda Rousey was announced to be voicing Sonya Blade. Mm-hmm. And for me, I thought that was great to have a mainstream MMA now WWE wrestler, one of the biggest female fighters ever. You know, prominent figure. I think it really helps the spotlight for Mortal Kombat. But for people in the LGBTQ community, Ronda Rousey is to them transphobic. Now, I have no idea. I actually have not really up to date on whatever. She has said in the past or has done, but I saw criticism from the LGBTQ community against Ronda being in the game because they believe she is transphobic. Hmm. So that was actually the controversy. Now, is that going to affect sales of the game or its esports potential? Like, no. Like, almost 0% impact. But there was already a little bit of political, cultural discussion around the game.
Hmm. Oh. I totally missed that. Like, I didn't really see any of that. I think everyone was mainly talking about how awesome the gameplay looks and, like, all the gore and the blood that came back. But I don't know. I mean, to go back to what we were talking about for, like, whether the gore will hold back its esports potential, I actually think it might because, like, a lot of brands, more and more brands, mainstream brands are getting into esports now and looking at it and kind of, like, being curious about it. So they won't touch a game that has blood and gore like Mortal Kombat. They won't even touch games like CSGO. Like,
so I totally agree that that is a strong possibility that that could hold back the game from becoming a tier one esport. However, is it possible that there are brands out there that would love to be involved in a rated MA game?
I mean, I think so. I think there would be a few. Of course, there are much less than there are brands that want to be in a more safe environment. I actually don't think that matters at all for either of you. I don't think the sponsorship actually matters for the tour at all because NetherRealm always puts out a large amount of money for Injustice 2 and the previous Mortal Kombat tour. They're probably going to put up a ton of money for SMK anyway. Probably if they got a sponsor, it would help them as a company. But for me, in terms of, like, is MK going to be a major esport? And this is how it is. This is how I see it for most games. It's not like, I mean, I guess it kind of depends how much prize money is up for grabs. But that's not necessarily directly tied to if there's a sponsor or not. Because the developer could put up the money anyway. And they could take it as a marketing loss or whatever the fuck they want to do with the budget and the numbers. It's really more about how many people are watching the majors. How many people were watching streams normally on Twitch and YouTube, and how many active players there are competing in the tournaments, and then I guess how many top players are there for the game. And MK hits, you know, a lot of those boxes, especially as a very American-focused game. I mean, there really aren't many, like, top Japanese players or Korean players that play Mortal Kombat. MK is very NA and EU-centric game, which does hurt it in terms of its international presence, but I think you can see a game like Marvel vs. Capcom, which is another very American-centric game, where it actually kind of helps in another way with the American audience that all wants to tune into that game instead of being split with the international presence. So I'm actually pretty excited for MK. MK still might be the biggest game brand name in all of competitive gaming. I think Street Fighter is already number one, but Mortal Kombat might actually be more prominent to more people than Street Fighter is.
Yeah, I think it's a toss-up.
In terms of legacy value, maybe like I think Street Fighter more because it's kind of more global, right? Like it taps into the market in Asia, which is huge, as opposed to Mortal Kombat, but. Warner Brothers is still publishing the title, and they obviously like made a big splash in hosting that huge event, which was really cool. Like I've been to a lot of reveal events, and like this one looked like they had spent a lot of money on it, and you know, not only was it like addressing the esports audience, but they were smart and also addressed like the mainstream audience, like the gamers who just love like getting on Mortal Kombat and playing like the single player modes, right? So I think that has, that would really help it as well, like on the whole. And in turn, that also helps the esports scene as well, because it introduces people more like who might be like interested or curious about the competitive aspect of the game.
Yeah.
Which is the opposite of what Street Fighter V did.
Street Fighter V tried. It just didn't
work. No, I mean, like, they released the game, and they had, like, no single player, like, no story mode. It was, like, a little short thing. If you were a casual gamer picking up that game because you loved Street Fighter, like, 3 years ago or something, like, back in the old Street Fighter days, you would be like, this sucks. Like, there's no arcade mode. There's no nothing. Like, what can I do in this game?
I mean, Zorin hits it on the head. Really, the best thing about Mortal Kombat and what they've done with the franchise is that they have made a good story. They've made a good single-player campaign where people are playing Mortal Kombat not just for a competitive title. Some of the best titles in esports, it's because they have a huge player base. And that was one of the biggest problems with Street Fighter V. They tried to focus so much on the competitive aspect that they fucked up the rest of the game. And it still has problems to this day because of that. So Mortal Kombat having a large player base and a smaller competitive player base, I think is still okay. Especially because in recent years, they've done such a good job building the NRS scene with Injustice and MK. From MK9 and Injustice 1 until now, they've actually done a really good job, I think, of cultivating that whole community to be pretty sizable. I mean, NRS was always kind of like a joke within the fighting game community. I would think you could talk more about that, Gutex, but I think they've really kind of legitimized themselves in recent years, and having someone like Sonic Fox lead that community along the way, I think, is very helpful for them.
Yeah. I mean, it's not totally untrue what you're saying. I mean, you know, for whatever reason, I'm sure everybody has their own, but you know, it seemed like once the Mortal Kombat prize money would dry up after the game's release, then a large percentage of the competitive community stopped playing it. And before they brought back Mortal Kombat 9, which seems like the dawn of time now, there was really nothing significant going on in like the competitive Mortal Kombat scene, because there hadn't been a game in years and people didn't care that much anyways. But they have done a good job of polishing the games, both Mortal Kombat and Injustice, super polished with the story modes and all the little details. Now, even according to other people, I don't know for sure because I haven't played it, but the netcode in Injustice 2 was great. And, you know, ultimately, counts for a lot in this day and age where there's not a lot of fighting games that have, you know, what the community considers to be super, you know, super strong netcode.
To be fair, Smash Ultimate's internet is fucking garbage, and that game is huge. So who fucking knows anymore? You know what? Who knows? That game is gigantic, and the net play is absolutely trash.
Right.
So
doesn't that stand to reason that if the netcode was good, it could be even better?
Yes. Yes. Nintendo are totally fucking incompetent idiots when it comes to the internet. I don't know what is going on at the goddamn company. I know they're run by I know it's probably Japan, which is fucking everything up, which is always a problem over there for everything. I know that Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat and games like Marvel and Dragon Ball, they get less leeway than something like Smash, because Smash's internet has sucked so bad for so long, no one believes that Nintendo will ever get that shit right. So it's like not as bad as other games, where there's a higher expectation for it to suck less.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good strategy. It just sucks so hard that people just don't expect you to do well. And then every now and then, if it's okay, people are like, hey, great job.
Yeah, if you start from the bottom, you can only go up from there.
Exactly. When you're at rock bottom, everywhere is up.
All right, so quick question for either of you. Will Mortal Kombat... Okay, would you say, in terms of fighting games right now, what is number one?
Smash.
Right now.
Smash. Yeah, in terms Smash Ultimate. Of, like, viewership?
Everything combined, no. Combine all the factors in your brain and pick a game.
I don't Ultimate really right see now. How you can beat Smash.
Ultimate? Okay. Yeah. Is number two Street Fighter V or Dragon Ball?
Street Fighter.
And then Dragon Ball. All right. Or Tekken. because Tekken 7 is doing really well.
It's a toss-up.
Yeah, I mean, Tekken 7 does well, and it's, like, slowly growing, but I don't think it's got, like, it's eclipsed the others yet, so I think number two is Street Fighter, and then Dragon Ball for me.
And the other thing is that it's unlikely, I just don't see them doing, like, another season of Dragon Ball anytime soon, so it could essentially be not a dead game, because it's only dead if nobody plays it, but, you know, it's going to fall off the esports radar.
Okay, let's say they continue support for Dragon Ball, and we're not going to include all the fucking problems that Namco Bandai has with all the Toei bullshit going on. Where does Mortal Kombat fit in the rankings?
I mean,
not directly after launch, but let's say like by Evo 2019, where is Mortal Kombat?
That's going to be the height of Mortal Kombat fever.
Yeah, like it's right after a new game, like the year of release or the first Evo after release, that's the height of their player base pretty much, right? Except for Tekken 7, which seems to be the exception to the rule. But I don't think the NRS community has ever been like larger than those games in like past Evos, from even right after a new game has been released, like after Injustice 2 came out. So I would hazard a guess, like, why would like... I would think that Injustice 2 had more potential to bring in new players into the base as opposed to Mortal Kombat, because Injustice at least had like the DC character appeal, right? And there was like all these DC movies coming out, kind of drawing interest as well. But like, I honestly, like, as cool as Mortal Kombat looks, and we're all kind of riding the hype train right now, I think by the time Evo rolls around, the community then would not have grown much more than like what it has in the past, in terms of like the peaks and the dips.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty safe bet. The one of the variables that could end up working out in Mortal Kombat's favor is that if they sort of design the home screen of the game to keep people updated about what's going on with, like, let's say a forthcoming Pro League, if that sort of messaging is included and it's made a priority, it is possible, going back to what you were saying, Rod, about like a bigger player base, like if you have, you know, if you have this many players because you sold this many copies, and then you do a good job of creating the messaging to reach those players, then you might be able to convert a larger percentage of that overall player base into competitive players if you sort of like walk them through what their path is and how they can improve as a player, as well as, you know, actually compete, you know, in tournaments.
So is this the year that more than Justin Wong from the Capcom community and other communities plays Mortal Kombat seriously?
You mean like, or you're saying, will other like Street Fighter or
besides
FGC
Justin
players,
besides Justin, who always plays MK every year?
I think that there will be more players that try it, just because the scene is larger than it was like when Justin won like Mortal Kombat 9 finals or whatever. The scene is bigger, so it's likely that there'll be more players that play it in this first, you know, season or whatever. I don't know if those players will stick around after that first season.
Are people so pissed off at Street Fighter V that it'll actually be more than what you would think? Top players, I mean.
No, like, I think, let me put it this way. If they offer a lot of money into the pro circuit in Mortal Kombat, that'll be what will draw people. Yeah. Like, the esports money, that'll be the one that... like, we'll convince the other players to kind of come and, like, try this game. They'll be like, oh, hey, like, there's an opportunity to win X amount of this tournament. They're putting this much money into it. My game doesn't get that much money. You know, like, hell, like, Tekken is getting nothing.
Bottom
so,
of the barrel.
For so much work that you have to put into that game. So, yeah, I mean, like, I think the money, like, that they put into the circuit will ultimately be what changes that.
Yeah. But then it sort of runs this sort of dangerous line where people are just playing for the money, which doesn't really seem to be sustainable.
So like Street Fighter V.
So what?
So like Street Fighter V.
Right. Where most players are playing for the money. I mean, obviously, I'm sure there is or was fun at some, you know, at some point. But generally, a lot of the Street Fighter V players seem to just be doing it out of obligation, which is probably a good segue into the topic of the Street Fighter V League that got announced. Here, let me switch over.
First, I would like to congratulate Capcom on hiring their a local third grader from the elementary school to make their logo for the 3-on-3 week. I thought that was very nice of them to give a really young kid a chance of getting his artwork out there. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, exposure. Pay them in exposure, right?
Yeah, paid in exposure. You're right.
Also, Ryan, you might want to like move your mic down or something. Apparently, people are saying that your volume is kind of low compared to us two. We can just have me and Rod talk all the time.
hold on. Let me just actually make sure that my these things are set properly because they may not have been. Oh, no, it's fine. Okay, here. Hold on. Let me just turn up the... There we go. That should be a little bit better.
So, okay.
Let me know if that's not better.
Thanks, chat.
Okay. Looking at the logo, I mean, I don't know what you guys see, but to me it looks... it looks like a fireball in red. It's a red fireball with blue around it. And the white, because as we all know, you can't have a professional anything unless the colors are red, white, and blue. And the font, I mean, if you want to get taken seriously, you know, I mean, this is what
looks like fucking Sonic fucked a fireball and made this thing.
I have questions, many questions about this logo, but nobody's going to be able to answer them.
This is not a graphic design show, and we can save our, we're super well qualified when it comes to art, but that's not the show for that. Let's go through this announcement.
Which I know you're so excited about.
Oh, man. Well, here's the thing. Before getting into this, all I'm going to say is that it's a step in the right direction. Teams is interesting. Teams has been a format that people have gotten immense joy and heartbreak out of since the dawn of Street Fighter time. So it's not... A lot of these details, I'm sure, are subject to change. And there's even stuff that says something about we'll be paying close attention to fan feedback to incorporate it into the future seasons of the league. So, you know, I don't think anybody is expecting them to get this right, but we can kind of go through some of the specifics of this stuff if you guys would like. How the North American Street Fighter Pro League will work. 6 teams comprised of 3 players each will compete over the course of 2 seasons to determine who will take home the first North America Pro League championship. Each team will include a captain chosen from the top-ranked players of the 2018 North American leaderboards. All qualifiers will be held to fill the second slot of each team, with the third slot comprised of players voted in by the community. At the beginning of each season, captains will draft players to their teams, and they'll need to consider who they pick wisely to create the winning combination, because the format of the lead will be slightly different than the traditional Street Fighter teams tournaments. I think they mean team tournaments. The league will introduce a character ban feature at the start of each match. Teams will have the opportunity to ban one character for the entirety of the match. They must also choose different characters from their teammates. The goal is for the teams to strategize the matchups in and out of the game by working more closely as a team, especially if the player may not necessarily get to play their best character exclusively. Wow, that is a whole lot of stuff, some of which seems to contradict other stuff, but I'll let you guys go first.
Thrilled,
if you want.
Excited, energized.
I'm excited. Look, I actually have been a big advocate for teams in FGC for a long time. I think one of the reasons why the FGC like is a tier 2 esport is because it's very hard for new people to tune in and watch something and know why they should care about this one person fighting against this other one person for like 2 minutes on the screen. You know, like there's not enough for them to get invested, to get behind. And I think that's a huge barrier to why the FGC has, you know, not as big as an audience as it could. And teams is a really great way to start addressing that. Now, whether I agree with the format that they're going with, that's something else to be discussed separately. But I think it's cool that Capcom, who traditionally like take very small steps, it's cool that they're trying this new thing and that they're introducing, and it's not taking away from the CPT. The CPT will still be there. We will still have the CPT for like pros and singles and everything. But, you know, this is something new in addition to that that can live alongside it, which I think is awesome. Hello, is this thing on?
Yeah. It is, Zoreen. It is. I hear you loud and clear.
Okay, Ryan's gonna tell us what he really thinks. I'm gonna go next.
Ryan, yeah.
No, not yet. For me, This is supposed to be the fun league, right? This isn't the actual Capcom Pro Tour.
Are you sure? Because it does say North American Street Fighter Pro League. So I think there are some...
Oh yeah, that's the riff. It's like confusingly named. Because it's like one popular person plus one online person plus one pro will join the Pro League? I'm just so confused about this.
But we are not like totally sure. I really highly doubt this is going to be the full league. Like, I'm going to assume the Capcom Pro Tour, they will announce later on as a full, normal, one-on-one, whatever, normal, no, none of this fucking rules.
I mean, it says CPT is coming, you know, Capcom Pro Tour will return in 2019.
So this is, you know, an experiment for them. So I think having a team league is good because, in general, also sponsors, I think it's good for sponsors. One of the best things for sponsors in other 1v1 games like StarCraft and Warcraft 3 previously was team leagues in Korea and even in the West. It allowed all the teams that picked up 5 players to actually have some use as a team. Now, this has kind of happened in fighting games like SBO or, you know, other, maybe, what is it, Canada Cup has like a team thing as well. But there really aren't. There's only like one or two events to have a team format. So to give some reason for teams to pick up multiple players, I think in generally a good thing. So I think just the team part is good. The rule stuff, I actually have no fucking idea what to think about it. Because it's not the normal one-on-one Capcom Pro Tour, I actually might not give a shit that they're going to include hero bans. I think it's funny that we got hero bans in Street Fighter before we got hero bans in Overwatch, which makes my fucking brain explode. But in specific, it being in Street Fighter, I don't know how bad this is. Ryan, please tell me how bad this is.
Bad is a very strong word. I'm just going to preface this entire thing to save myself any future headaches. You guys, you know where to find me. I'm doing an esports show with Slasher and Zoreen. I have a lot of free time. You guys have my number. My DMs are open. Rod, you may be the number one esports consultant, but I'm the number one FGC / Street Fighter consultant.
Ooh.
And it bothers me on many levels, but it most bothers me as somebody who has competed in lots of team tournaments and has even qualified to represent America at SBO, Super Battle Opera, aka Togeki, which was at the time the most prestigious tournament in Japan. So it bothers me because I will, no matter how esports I get, I swear to God, I always think about it as a competitor first. And I don't understand. I mean, I guess it's a beta test. You're right. This is just an experiment. And hey, if they get 1% better every day, at the end, oh, they will be 37 times better than it is when it starts. But I sort of see two different conflicting things. Like, first it says, you know, they're going to pick the captain from the North American leaderboards, and then they're going to have online qualifiers to fill the second spot, and the third will be somebody voted in. I really hope they thought this through on how that's actually going to work, but here's the issue. It doesn't actually, lots of times you can have teams that seem great on paper don't actually perform well as a unit. And I think when you introduce these elements of people not being able to pick their teams, that doesn't necessarily lead to the best team synergy. And keep in mind, I'm just going based on like the official like blog post here. I don't have any inside information. Nobody asked me what I think, so I'm just telling you guys anyways. But
a little bit bitter.
No, I mean, here's the thing. I got no skin in the game. It matters not to me. If this is a dumpster fire, that just gives us more stuff to talk about on this show. Other than that, makes no difference to me. But I can tell you for sure that if you have an online qualifier to fill the second slot of each team, like, that doesn't lend itself to team synergy necessarily. And also the other thing is that, you know, like what we were talking about, Rod, about how this could be good for sponsors because now they'll pick up more players because they can use them on as a unit. They actually can't use them as a unit in this instance because the team captain doesn't actually get to choose their team. So it sounds like Capcom, it says each team will include a captain chosen from the top ranked North American leaderboards. So Capcom is doing the choosing on that. And then the captain doesn't actually choose the second slot because that's going to go to qualifiers. And the third slot is going to go to a vote, which essentially is a popularity contest. You know, I mean, that just doesn't sound like the best way to construct a team that will work together as a unit. Because what works, what oftentimes makes the difference in team tournaments is the team's ability to trust that they're gonna pick, to trust the judgment of who they put up first versus who they think the other team goes up first. Like, for example, when me, Justin Wong, and KO Fiend qualified for SBO in 2008 in Third Strike, the team that we had to fight was a Chun-Li, Dudley, and 12 player. And I told these guys, I'm like, look, I am more confident in the Dudley match than any other match in Street Fighter history. Don't put me up first, because if I go up against the Chun-Li player or the 12, my chances are not as good as they would be against the Dudley player. So we put KO Fiend up first. He beat the first guy who was playing Dudley. And then he lost to the 12 guy. I beat the 12 guy. And then I beat the Chun-Li guy. So like, that was an instance, obviously a very isolated incident of, you know, us making the right call that worked out in the end. But, like, when you take away having people qualify together as a unit and having to deal with the drama of trying to construct the best team when people are backstabbing each other and deciding that they want a team with somebody else, if you remove all of that entirely, it takes a lot of the spirit and, in my opinion, a lot of the fun and prestige out of it. So they've essentially eliminated all of that as a way to, I don't know, engage more people, maybe? But it would be way more interesting if you just gave these six players, you know, let them decide who they want on their team.
Okay, I agree. That is fucking dumb. I did not realize that. That is absolutely stupid.
This is just my interpretation from reading this official statement.
So now, what about the other part? What do you think about the...
Oh, the bans?
The bans.
Let's try to think of why you would want to do that. I mean, I guess it's to sort of encourage people to have, like, a legitimate secondary. But I also think that it's sort of going into very dangerous territory because, for example, let's say that Justin and Punk are somehow on the same team and they are both playing Karen this season. So if you ban Karen from both of, you know, on both sides, so that they both can't play them. Now, that's an instance where, let's say, the captain wasn't really able to plan around that because, let's say, Punk qualified on his own, right? So Justin didn't choose, let's say in this example, Justin didn't choose Punk and then have Karen banned for both of them. Justin, you know, Punk qualified through the online qualifier or got voted in through the fan vote on Justin's team. And then the other team is like, all right, cool. We're just going to ban Karen. And now both of them on paper are at a disadvantage, theoretically. Maybe I'm missing something.
How would you say the balance of the game is right now?
In terms of what, characters?
Mm-hmm.
I personally don't think I think that Street Fighter V, in my personal experience, the gap between, like, the high tier and the low tier characters is narrower than it was in Street Fighter IV. But based on recent results, I mean, there's definitely, like, the upper, you know, the SSS tier, and then there's, mm-hmm, like, every, you know, all the other characters. I don't actually think that there's, like, super terrible matchups where anything is, like, unwinnable. And I don't think, I especially think that in a 3v3 situation, your other two players/characters should be able to overcome any bad matchup, because there is no, in my opinion, there is no unwinnable matchup. There are certainly, like, unfavorable matchups, but there's really no reason to, like, completely ban, like, one character just for the sake of, like, a bad matchup. So I don't know. It doesn't make, that part doesn't make a lot of sense to me, because you should just be able to if you got your initial pick wrong of who they were going to send up first, and so your first match and your first guy and their first guy ended up being a bad match, that first guy that wins has to stay on, in theory, if they're using that format. So the next character, you should be able to adjust between the two remaining characters. You should be able to put up the one that can fight this winning character effectively if they use that format. I personally think they're going to try to actually use the team's format in the teams function in Street Fighter V, which is a feature that literally nobody uses, but Capcom has been trying to get people to use it. So this could be a way to get people to try to use that. So
it's, so everything about this sucks. I didn't realize how much of this sucked until we really got into it. So we have now, the way they pick the team seems really fucking dumb. They're doing it because they're trying to make a feature that no one uses in the game to be used, which will not work anyway, which is incredibly stupid. And the bans themselves don't actually make the gameplay better at all. And it makes a strategy either non-existent or worse.
Yeah, I mean, if you could pick your
own... Cool. Seems like really... You know what? This seems like very... At least, you know what, Ryan? I will say, this is at least consistent decision-making from Capcom. They've consistently made bad decisions along the way where I'm not too upset about any of this. Congratulations, Capcom.
You know, the thing is, this hasn't even started yet. There's definitely still time for them to, you know, make adjustments. You know, I don't think anything has been set in stone. But, you know, it does say the goal is for the teams to strategize the matchups in and out of the game by working more closely as a team, especially if the best player may not necessarily get to play their best character exclusively. If that is the goal, that goal is still totally possible to be reached. You could still, it could still be a thing. And that is, that should be the goal of, you know, the team tournaments, minus the part about the best character being used, you know, the player's best characters being used exclusively. But it's going to need a lot of adjustments. And I hope, maybe, you know, maybe it'll be fine.
Yeah, maybe it just looks bad on paper, but like when it's actually executed, it turns out to be very entertaining, and we see players get forced to play characters that they normally would not have usually. And maybe this is also their way of forcing the teams to talk to each other and like actually work together as a unit, as opposed to just like hoping for the best.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm liking the positivity here, guys.
That's me.
Nice.
You could definitely have qualifiers for like team captains. You could have fan votes for team captains. I mean, I get, you know, they want to get, they want to, you know, if there was some sort of like really really popular content creator that wanted to be in it. Like, let's say, for example, that six of the teams were, you know, picked from the leaderboards, and then six of the teams were, you know, voted in as captains by fans. I can see that having some benefit to like the overall visibility of it. But this way that they're doing it, where the third spot is voted in, I mean, I don't know. I don't know. Who knows? Maybe it's going to be great.
That was like a Hail Mary like response right there. I think it's going to be hilarious. We are definitely going to get some troll players voted in, like... It's going to be entertaining to watch. LTG? Sure.
Who wants to see LTG? We're all really excited for that, right? Yeah. I mean, Ryan, this must be your return.
Trust me. First off,
this is Gutex coming back.
This is Gutex's comeback. Like Soulja Boy, 2019.
Everyone, you heard it here. We need you all to vote for Gutex. When this thing opens up, he's going to be the third player voted into one of these teams. It's going to be great.
Do you play two characters, Ryan?
I don't play any characters, Rob. I'm a Mortal Kombat / Smash Brothers player.
That's awesome. They can't ban your character if you don't have a character.
Can't ban the character if you didn't have one to begin with. Yeah, I mean, yeah, of course I play two. Of course I play two characters. I just don't understand. I mean, it could be interesting. It could create some interesting storylines and drama potentially. I just think that there are a lot of other ways that you could accomplish the same thing by just tweaking it just a little bit. Like, it, the idea of a 3v3, you know, pro league is great. You know, even pulling players from 2018 leaderboards, totally fine. A lot of this other stuff, there's so much nuance in these types of rule sets and whatnot, and I don't know that without not to beat a dead horse, but here's the thing: Combo Fiend, Matt Dahlgren, and Haunts essentially, like, you know, created a large amount of, you know, the way that Capcom Pro Tour works. All three of those guys had a lot of, you know, tournament experience as, you know, players, specifically here in North America. Those guys are not there any longer. And so it's like, to me, this was sort of constructed by, you know, some people. I'm sure it wasn't one person, but, like, it's not made by people who actively competed at a high level. That's my takeaway. That's boom, like, boom, mic drop. Like, that's the big diss. I don't think that they had somebody. I don't think that they consulted with a lot of people outside the organization on this, and there's probably some sort of overarching corporate goal from this.
Yeah, it's probably to get more players to play the game. Well, hey, look, newsflash, Capcom, you're not going to fucking hear this or listen to me anyway, even if you did. But you know what? Making your tournament format a little bit easier for noobs to play in is not going to fix the fucking game to have a single-player mode or to have a more interesting entrance of the game. You're not going to get more players in. All you're going to do is piss off the current competitive players that you do have, and you're going to get basically nothing new. So another incredible idea by a game developer in the competitive gaming space.
I mean,
congratulations. Actually, there were two great, just fantastic announcements. We didn't get into the second one.
Oh, God.
Either. But, like, somehow, both, I think Capcom and Nintendo must have spoken to each other and, like, hey, you have a good idea? I have a good idea, too. Let's fucking both put out our great ideas within an hour of each other and make a big splash within the fighting game community. And they have done it.
I was shooting episodes of Excellent Adventures with Smash and Street Fighter, and so I came back to this amazing announcement. Here we go. Super Smash Brothers Ultimate North America Open 2019. Two big tournaments, two huge finales. Play for a chance to win a trip to compete at PAX East. Oh, right. Smash and Splatoon 2. Cool. Hey, this all sounds good. Get ready, get set to Smash. Players across the U.S., Canada, and Mexico will face off online for a trip to the final event at PAX East. Register, blah, blah, blah. Online event dates, qualifiers, regional map, finals will be live stream. Online tournament 1, February 9th, March 2nd, March 16th. PAX East, I'm sure, is shortly after that, March 30th. Yep. This all, I don't get it. This sounds great. What's the issue?
Where could the issue be? Yeah, I mean, you know what? It's about time that Nintendo actually put something up for Smash itself instead of having the third-party community literally do everything. I've got to say, Nintendo was probably the last holdout in terms of not giving a shit about its own esports or competitive community. Out of every major game developer and publisher of every game in competitive gaming, Nintendo has been holding out as the biggest assholes until this day. This is a little bit of a step forward. Actually putting on a tournament. Congratulations, Nintendo. I'm sure there are no problems, and the community is just fucking thrilled to play in this tournament. Right, Ryan? Right? Ryan? PogChamp?
It remains to be seen.
Mr. PogChamp.
Hold on.
I'm hearing there may be some issues.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. You talk about how they were ignoring the competitive community and all this, and that they should have been more active. I personally don't know how much of this I've said publicly, but I feel like I have warned Smash players specifically that they might want to be careful what they wish for. Because oftentimes it doesn't quite happen the way that you expected, and upon further inspection of the rules, which I am switching over to,
which is linked in this tiny little like
URL. Oh, it's way at the bottom.
Can you imagine being like that excited Smash player? You see this announcement, you're like, oh my god, it's finally happening, this is it happening. And then you scroll down and you see that little link that's like official rules, and you click into it, and lo and behold, the rules are nothing like you expected.
Right. I mean, we're not even talking about, we haven't even talked about like the net code, you know, just take, assuming that worked like totally fine. Looking at the, total ARV of available prizes, $29,232. $75 per diem, three nights lodging in a hotel chosen by sponsor in Boston at a winner at a travel guest. If the winner is a minor, damn. Okay.
Well,
How
much? How much is prize money? Total prize money.
Total. It's not prize money. Total. Here it is. Total ARV of available prizes. So that's like the total value of all these prizes, not necessarily like the cash value. The cash value, I mean, it doesn't even say, there may not even be any, but that I don't think that's what people are upset about. I think people might be upset. Format 1v1. Okay, fine. Single limb. Oof, rough, but you know, that's a tough format. Let's see. Style, time. Time limit. That's interesting. Final stock meter off. Okay. Damage handicap off. Items low. Smash ball off. Wait. Items low. Smash ball on. What? How can you have 1v1 single limb time based, not stock based? Items and a smash ball.
Esports.
Dude, it's like...
I have no like... words except for I told you so. I fucking told you so. I predicted that if Nintendo got into the game and they started to take competitive esports serious, that items would be on and people would hate it. Shout outs to new free agent Justin Wong for pointing out that when they debuted the game at E3, they had all kinds of players coming in from different games playing in free for all with items. And as somebody who is a new Smash player, all I can say is, I knew I wasn't crazy, and I knew that this was the way that Nintendo thought about the game. You think that 1v1 singles, no items, small stages is the only way to play this game, and you know what Nintendo said? No. Nintendo says no, and especially when you get to the online events finals round, which takes place between March 9th, March 2nd, and March 16th, that you might have started with Time Battle, but you're going to finish with 3 stocks, 7-minute time limit, full Smash off, items set to low, and Smash Ball set to on, only to finally get to the final event, 3v3 Squad Strike. So they have essentially used 3 different formats, which is exactly, not exactly, but we also experimented today with about 3 formats. But basically, it starts as time-based, it goes to stock-based, and then finally it ends in 3v3 Squad Strike, which for those unfamiliar is basically makes Smash into like a Capcom versus SNK2 or King of Fighters model, where when one character dies, the next character comes in. And even in the final event, items are on, Smash Ball is on. The only thing I don't see in here, maybe somebody can point it out, but it doesn't say anything about like which stages can be played on. I'm sure that's in here somewhere. But yeah, I feel super validated. Props to Nintendo. I love it. This is awesome. God, it feels good to be right.
Ooh. Yeah, soak it in. Ooh. I think it's like the stages would be like predetermined by the like organizers or something, or the host, or like they would just be predetermined stages.
It gets better. It gets better. Sorry. So I just hit Control F. Stage. Stage selection predetermined by sponsor. Stage selection predetermined by sponsor. Oh god, I think even in the grand finals, stage selection predetermined by sponsor. What? Yo, esports! Oh my god. Just tell me the deck. Send me the sponsorship deck.
Can we cut to like we are experiencing technical difficulty screen and just have it like blank for like a few seconds?
Oh god. I'm so glad I showed up today. Oh my god. What a great day. Sorry. Remain unbiased. Sorry. Just letting people know what's going on. Sorry. What are you guys' thoughts?
I mean, look, Nintendo make the game. Obviously, they want people to experience all the stuff that they put a lot of effort into putting into the game, which includes, you know, like the stages, Smash Ball, items, Smash Balls, the big attack, the flashy stuff. Yeah.
Squad Strike.
Yeah, and if we don't like it, that's too bad. You know, like, it's their game. They can do what they want with it, right?
Okay. Look.
Party game. Woo!
I know. I can see where Nintendo is coming from. I can see where Capcom is coming from. I can see where other game developers are coming from that want to show off the features that they worked really hard to put in the game and to show the game that's not necessarily played at what you'll see at every other event, to kind of bring in more people to play these tournaments. What I have to say is that It literally never fucking works. It's literally never fucking worked any other time that any other game has tried to do this. And every single time a game developer tries to make different rules that are way fucking drastically not the same as what the esports settings are, all they do is piss off the entire competitive community, the internet, which they thought would have, you know, liked it, and they don't get any new fucking players into the tournament. Anyone that already plays Smash Ultimate is going to play in the tournament if the rules are just like every other esports event, or they're like this. It's not gonna bring in any people that wouldn't have played the event if it was like normal esports rule set. Every time game developers do this,
I don't agree.
It fucking blows my mind.
Okay.
No, Ryan.
Hold on.
Fucking John down the street is not playing the fucking tournament because items are on.
Hold on.
He's not doing it.
Hold on. First, we'll talk about that in a second. First, actually, can you think of some specific examples of publishers coming in and sort of trying to change the way that the existing competitive community plays?
Sure. In Counter-Strike, like several years ago, when the Championship Gaming Series was around on TV, they made, instead of it being best of 30 rounds, they made it like best of 18. It was like first to 10. And they broadcasted it in like third person mode the entire time. Yes, they had to change the rules because of time format, but it's not like it made the game, the actual game, any better. They just artificially did it because of a time change or because they had to manipulate the rules in a certain way. Overwatch, the rules have changed a little bit, but not so much, and everyone is forced to do it because it is Overwatch League, and the community scene beforehand wasn't really developed as much. Honestly, I think the best example is the previous Smash. It's like if Melee had items on, because didn't that used to happen at Evo at like a certain point, where the Smash community fought with Evo for a few years to change the rule set because Evo had stupid rules. And they wouldn't listen. Mr. Wizard wouldn't listen to the Smash community.
I believe there was some debate about items before, but I'm no expert on Smash history. But I believe
Ryan, you really fucking think little Johnny down the street is going to now compete in this tournament because he gets to use a fucking Smash ball and he plays time, and he wouldn't have played the event if it was normal rules?
No. I my position is not that people would play or wouldn't play based on this rule set. I think it would largely have about the same amount of people anyways. So I don't actually think that, because there's items on, there's going to be dramatically more people that enter. What I do think is it's a possibility, but I don't know how strong of a possibility it is that there will be players out there that excel, or not excel, but have been playing with items on and are familiar and used to playing with items, and it is possible, maybe not likely, but possible, that there will be players that come out of the woodwork that aren't existing top players or content creators or streamers or whatever, that excel with this format. Because, as I experienced today, playing Smash Brothers with three other strong, you know, experienced players, a lot of people don't know what's good with items, and items are a thing, and it makes things, in my own personal opinion, more interesting and exciting.
It's random. So it makes it more random.
There are some... it introduces an element of randomness. The game is super customizable, so you can say, I want to only enable one item. That doesn't sound like that's the case here, but you could, for example, just enable... I want to enable, like, the mushroom. And then you set the set item frequency to low, and then now, every now and then, a mushroom comes down. Does that introduce an element of randomness? Yes. Does that introduce an element of game-breaking randomness? In my opinion, it does not.
But it's not making any new people enter the fucking tournament. People, the Smash player was going to enter the tournament whether the items were on or the items were off. All it's going to do is piss off all the people watching at home who was like, why is this top player loses some stupid bullshit because this item...
It's going to piss off the existing competitive community and the existing, let's say, competitive viewing community. But I personally believe that the vast majority of people who actually play this game are playing it casually with items on, with all kinds of crazy different rule sets with their friends. So this, to me, is a more realistic representation of how most people... I'm not talking about competitive tournament-level winning players. I'm talking about the overall player base because the game is built this way. Because, as Zorin said, there is so much time and effort being spent on the stages, the items, all these things that essentially never get showcased in super high-level competitive play. And I, for one, am super stoked. I'm going to enter! I'm going to enter. What do you think?
Probably the only way you're going to win, right?
Gutex is going to be a Smash play now.
Just wait till you see the stuff that we put out from earlier. Zorin, what do you think? And then we can end it on a note.
Yeah, I mean, I've kind of always been like weird about Smash, to be honest, and like the way that the community like runs the game competitively. So I think it's cool that Nintendo's doing this, and who knows, like maybe it'll become part of like the skill set to become good at getting to an item first or using an item properly. Like that could be.
See, when I say when I say it, people look at me like I'm crazy, but. I think you're.
I mean, maybe they're looking at me the same way.
No, Zareen's fucking crazy too. What the fuck are items are you talking about?
Have you even
played? Bleachist?
Rod.
No.
Have you played? Have you even played?
No.
Okay.
Does it matter?
To have an educated opinion about in-game, you know, features. I do think that if you did play the game. That at least you would have your opinion would hold some weight. I played Smash Brothers all day. We played with items. We arrived.
And do you still suck?
Oh, I didn't say I was good. But I will say that of the four of us, I was expected. I got fourth place multiple times, but I did win one.
Was it thanks to an item?
You can ask the guys downstairs if it was thanks to an item. I mean, they would say, yeah, of course.
Oh, and I see. I see why Ryan is now going this way.
Why?
Okay.
Why? Why?
No reason.
Salty.
I'm going down this way. I'll cut you. I'll cut you off. I'll cut you off right there.
Gutex can't win in Smash without items on. Put it here first. Gutex cannot win in Smash Ultimate without items on.
Bro. I have not dedicated enough time, skill, or practice to be winning with or without items. So I'm not a... You could talk about how I'm a fucking washed up, shitty player in Street Fighter all you want, because at least I fucking play that game. This is brand new to me. I don't make any qualms about being good at all in this game. But the reason why I've been approaching it this way is because I believe... From a viewership standpoint, you know, taking into consideration the audience and content and everything, this, personally, the way I view it is singles, 1v1, no items, small stages is the least interesting way to play the game. And so thus, for me, when I watch it, it's the least interesting way to watch it. So that's why I've been trying to pursue experiment with other different formats, which include... some items. I mean, just spoiler alert, what we did today is we started by everybody picking one item each. So there were four items total. And then eventually we sort of settled on these four particular items being like the standard, and then each player picked one item. So it led to a lot of very, very, very entertaining moments. And from a viewership perspective, I will be interested to see how our content does with these new elements mixed in. Anyways, I think that about wraps it up for today. Slasher, your homework, since you failed last time to get an exclusive with Soulja Boy, is to actually play a game of Smash.
And record it. Yeah. Please.
Okay. Okay, I got you. I'm going to get some training from Anti.
Do it. Do
mad good.
Awesome.
Do whatever you got to do, dude. All right. We got to wrap up. Because
Zorin's got a date.
Zorin's got a date. Very important date.
Looking good right now, Zorin.
Woo!
Oh, thanks. Appreciate it. Thank you from my esteemed associates here. Really appreciate that.
All right, guys. We're going to wrap it up. Thank you guys so much for joining us. For those of you watching at home, Zorin, where can people go for more Zorin between now and next time?
So you can find me on Twitter. I am Zorin, Z-O-R-I-N-E, or on Twitch. I am Team Zorin, one word. So, yeah, I'm there. And on YouTube as well, Team Zorin, same thing.
Slasher, what about you?
Where do people... Who the fuck owns Zorin on Twitch?
What?
Who owns Zorin on Twitch?
I don't know. It's like a weird, like, dead link. It doesn't lead to anything.
Right, okay, I'm gonna get you Zorin. No problem.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Rob. Where do people for more of the world's number one esports consultant?
I know we got like 10,000 viewers on the stream right now, but I'm no leech, so I have no promotion to give.
Damn.
But by next week, I'm going to bring them Smash skills, Ryan, you fucking garbage-ass player.
Oh my god. First off. Don't make me.
You just wait till we play 1v1 with 300 ping.
Oh yeah, 1v1 me IRL, bro.
You need. All right. Do you have a Switch?
No.
All right. Well, you gotta go. You gotta use some of that esports money to go get a Switch, and then you need to get the Ethernet adapter. But you need to do a careful Amazon search to make sure you get the right one that actually works with it. Then we can play on 200 ping instead of 300, big boy.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna get a ringer for me, named Ellie. And they're going to be playing. For me.
Typical esports tactics. All right, guys. Thank you so much for watching. Zorin, have fun on your date. Rod, good luck. Good luck gathering that esports money together. I'm sure you can hit up all your clients, and you can have 1 week is more than enough time to prepare for the level of skill of the level of Smash Brothers skill that Gutex has right now. So.
Thanks, everyone.
Yeah. Thanks, everybody, for watching. Bye.